John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32 there on your sheet. It says, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Now, just a little side note, of course, we hear a lot today about Christianity and followers of Christ. I'm a Christ follower, and you know how I feel about that term if you've been here the last few weeks. Most people that say it, their life doesn't back it up. And actually, we're going to talk about a little bit about that on Sunday night. There's a big difference between a Christian and a disciple, okay? That's another step that we take that makes us a disciple. Next verse. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, the time we have to be here. The folks that are here tonight at the end of a busy week, I'm sure, a busy work week. I pray, Lord, that you'd settle our minds and our hearts tonight. May we get encouragement. May we get strength and be challenged through your word. And Lord, I pray because of these Thursday nights that our love and desire for your word would grow and increase, and that you would work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, talking about God's truth, we understand that God's truth is in his word. By the way, that's a good thing. If God's truth was not written down and settled for us, then really, to be honest with you, we would not be able to know what exactly is God's truth. The person that gets up and says, "Well, you know, God spoke to me and God told me this." Well, we understand that God speaks through his word, not through somebody's dreams and visions, okay? And so we need to have a place where there is a truth we know is solid, we know is right, and that's God's truth, and it's in his word. Remember this, truth isn't true, no matter what you think or I think, no matter what you believe or I believe, and no matter how you feel. Truth is true. So I just don't feel. That's great. Sometimes I don't feel either. Well, I just don't believe it. Still true. Okay? Well, doesn't matter what you just. Okay? God's truth is true, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, or what, you know, like, are you feeling it? Whether you feel it or not. It's true. The opposite of truth is what? A lie. Most people live their lives on lie. I heard a story. There's a liar's club in Wisconsin. And in order to join the Liars Club, you have to send them a dollar and a good lie. Well, they found out that they had people in their Liars Club from every state but Alabama. Well, somebody from Alabama found that out. They wrote a letter. And they said, the reason you don't have any liars in your club from Alabama is because nobody in Alabama lies. They wrote them back and said, you have a free lifetime membership, okay? Okay, lying. Lie is opposite of the truth. We live in a day when people are not discerning. We believe what we've heard or what others testify to without searching it out for ourselves. I'll just be honest with you. Most people, if they hear something on the news, or they hear something on television, or they hear something on the radio, it's just true. Can I just tell you something? No, it isn't. Just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true. We might want to do a little research. You ever get these emails? People, you know, you get on their email list, and it's like they send you some horrific story. Oh, you know, I heard about this. There was one that's like, don't lick your envelopes because spiders lay their eggs on the glue of the envelopes, and if you lick your envelopes closed, the eggs get in your tongue, and they sprout. Anybody heard that one? Oh, maybe I'm the only one. But you get these things in the mail. They'll give you the story. What I like to do when I get those, I don't get many of them probably because I do this, I'll like just do an internet search. And I usually get hoax.com or something. And like, that's a hoax. It's nonsense. And then I'll just, you know, maybe I'll just lovingly, hey, nice story. By the way, here's a link. You might want to check it out. Do research. It's not true. Okay? But people, they just believe, oh, someone said it's true. It must be true. Not necessarily. The problem is if we hear a lie long enough and it's told with enough conviction, we will eventually believe it. We all know, if you like baseball, Pete Rose. Pete Rose, when he was a manager, bet on baseball. not just bet on baseball, he bet on his own team, which is a violation of baseball rules. It's a violation of really ethics. And when it came out, the commissioner suspended him from baseball forever. And he, over the years, denied it. By the way, he agreed to it at first. He denied it, and he denied it, and he denied it, and he denied it. And after the course of many, many years, people said, well, obviously, if he's denying it for this long, he must be telling the truth. And then something happened. He needed money. And so he wrote a book, and he came out with the truth, said, yeah, I bet on baseball. No big deal. In fact, later on after that, he was selling autographed baseballs for $250 that said, I lied, and he'd sign his name. But that's just how we are in our society. We hear something long enough, and we don't bother to check it out, and we swallow a lie. Lies are very harmful. So truth needs to dominate our lives and our society. By the way, lying is easy to do, okay? How many of you have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay, now let me say this. Those of you that did not raise your hand, you're in. Okay? You lied. Everybody's told a lie. Hopefully not recently. Okay? Sometime in our life, back when we were like maybe 2 or 3, maybe we didn't tell the truth. What does God think of it? Look at the verse there in Revelation. He's mentioning some of the sins that people committed who are not saved and you know, going to hell. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. That pretty much encompasses everybody right there. God doesn't like lying. Now, when we think about Satan, Satan is a liar. If you look in the scriptures, and you were going to give a main characteristic of Satan, the number one characteristic you would give him is this. He's a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. He deals in lies. He lies about what is true. He lies about what is right. He lies about what is righteous. He lies about what works. He's just a liar. Look at the verse there in John chapter 8, verse 44. Speaking of Satan, it says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And Satan is our spiritual enemy. Now, if we're going to overcome the lies and deception that so easily are pervasive in our society, we overcome that with the truth. The truth sheds light on all of the lies. Now, where do we find absolute truth? Absolute truth is found on the pages of the Bible, hopefully you have here, and you're holding your hands each and every day. It's found in the Bible. John 17:17 says, Jesus was talking about his disciples praying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so truth is vitally important. It's important that we know what's true so we don't get sucked in and buy the lies that will hurt us in our life. So let's answer a few questions tonight. Look on your sheet and we'll start filling in some blanks here. Blank number one, why is truth so important? Why is truth so important? Well, look at the little statement underneath that. Because absolute truth exists whether we know it or not, therefore life is dangerous unless we know what is true. It's out there. Absolute truth exists, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not. And so if we live our lives without knowing what this absolute truth is, it is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because the decisions we make in our life are based on the truth that we believe, right? You ever been lied to? Many years ago, I was in high school, and believe it or not, there was a girl I was seeing a little bit. It wasn't courtship. I wasn't saved. But I was seeing this girl, and one night, I was talking to a buddy of mine, a friend, Matt, and we were hanging out at my buddy's house, and Matt goes, man, I got to tell you something, Steve. I'm like, what? He goes, You know, he named this girl. He said, you've been seeing? He goes, and he told me something really bad about her. He said, I just happened to find out about this, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, we're stupid when we're young. I'm like, man, thank you. You're a good buddy. I'm ditching that chick. I just quit calling. I quit seeing her. She tried to call me. I just ditched her. She was done. Why? Because my buddy Matt clued me in. That's my buddy. About a month later, my buddies and I were out on a Friday night, and it's like, let's go to Matt's house. Let's go pick up Matt and see what's going on, back before cell phones and texting. So we go to Matt's house, and his mom says, Matt's not home. I said, well, where's Matt? He goes, he's out with so-and-so at the ice skating rink. Guess who he was out with? My girl. The one I ditched for him because he said she did this. So I'm like, I'm going to go visit Matt. So I went to the ice skating rink over at Paramount. And, you know, he was surprised to see me. He was really surprised to see me. Now, the moral of the story is she ditched him back for me. That was her good luck, of course. But I made that decision based on lying information. You know what? People do that all the time. Yes, sir. They base their decisions in their life based on faulty information, based on things that aren't true, and it's very, very damaging. You may have remember, well, Jerry remembers because this is back in his time, but on October 30th, 1938, there was a radio show on. Jerry was listening to it. He was like 40. that's back before television, okay? And the show was called War of the Worlds. How many of you have heard of that? And basically, War of the Worlds is a story by H.G. Wells about Martians who take over the Earth. Well, this radio, they did a drama on this night. Now, what they did is they did a story like it was a live newscast. You know, breaking into the radio, we have a live story, Martians have landed. And, you know, we didn't know about Martians back then. And so people tuning, and they had, like, reporters like, they're out here and they're killing people. Ah! We've lost that reporter. And people were listening to this, and people that clued in late sounded like a news program, and they started believing it. No internet, no nothing like that. You kids don't understand how it was back in Jerry's day. I'm just telling you. Jerry was around before they invented cars. And these people started calling the police and like, the Martians are here, and like, it's a radio show. Now, they were making decisions and freaking out based on the information they were getting, but the information was not true. It was fiction. But that's part of our life. We live in a society that's based for the most part on the fact that truth is relative. In other words, truth basically is what you believe it to be. If you believe something is true for you, it's true for you. If I believe something's true for me, it's true for me, and it's equally valid for everybody. There is no absolute truth. Well, that flies in the face of Scripture, which says there is absolute truth. And if there is no absolute truth, we are like the people in the book of Judges. We become our own little gods, and we have no truth to base our lives by, and so we have no leader, and we do our own thing, and it's very, very hurtful. Look at Judges chapter 21, verse 25. And really, this is the key in the whole book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, the determining factor whether something was true or right was ourselves. We made that determination. No one outside of us could tell us what is true. There's no king saying this is right or that's, so I determine what's right and wrong. If you read the book of Judges, we're going to get there in about a month or so, it's confusing. There's all kinds of nonsense going on. And it's like, I thought this was a book of the Bible. What are we trying to learn here? We're trying to learn that when we become the source of what is right and wrong, things are dangerous in life. Amen. Things are dangerous. Even if it seems, you know, we live inside, well, if it works, it must be right. It's ridiculous. It's if God says it's right, it's right. So why is truth so important? Because absolute truth exists whether or not we know it. Therefore, life is dangerous unless we know what is true. Number two, look at what happens when we reject absolute truth. We reject absolute truth. When we believe that there is no absolute truth, in other words, there's a bottom line, this is it. Okay? That's what truth is. Truth is, this is it. No conversation, it's it. It affects three areas. Okay, we'll look at those areas. What does it do, letter A, to the Bible? When we reject absolute truth, what does it do to the Bible? Now stay with me, I'll explain it. Look at the little statement underneath that. If truth is relative, in other words, there's no absolute truth. Truth is whatever you believe it to be. There's no outside source telling you this is true. You decide it. Then the Bible becomes merely another book, not a reliable guide for this life or the next. In other words, we marginalize the Bible. The Bible's no longer important. Now, the Bible's always true. The Bible's always important. The truth is always there, but we're talking about in our life. If we don't believe the Bible is absolutely true, it's our guide, then the Bible has no power in our lives. The Bible's not got absolute truth. How can we trust it to make the decisions of our life? That's why the Bible's telling us to live by faith. What does that mean? We live trusting in what God says, not on how we feel or what we believe. And so, therefore, we make important decisions in our life based solely on what God is saying. That can be scary. Unless you believe that God's word is absolute truth. Amen. Then it's not scary. Truth. We don't want the Bible just to merely become another book. As we mentioned before, and I just mentioned right now, we live by faith. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. We receive him by faith. We live our life by faith. By the way, you ever hear people say, oh, I have faith? Now, some people have faith in faith. That's this movement, you know, like, God wants you to be rich. Just have enough faith. We're having faith in faith. Remember, faith is only as strong as that which you have it in. Right? If I have faith in something that's faulty, doesn't matter how strong my faith is, it doesn't work. Faith is only, and so far, faith is in God's word and in God's witness to us, we're okay. Look at the verses there. The scripture clearly tells us that God's words are pure and God's words are true. Therefore, we can trust them and we can live our lives based on what they say. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 119, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is true. Let me just tell you something. God's word is true. And we need to make it the focal point and the decision maker of our life. So what happens? We reject that. It does something to the Bible. What does it do, letter B, to our society? To our society. The day in which we live, the area, the country in which we live. Look at the little statement. If truth is relative and not absolute, our society will free itself from the many moral restrictions and obligations. Now anything goes and everything is negotiable. In other words, when our society rejects absolute truth, you know what we're doing? We're throwing off the moral restraints. Or as they like to call, the restrictions. There are no moral restraints. There are no moral restrictions. Do whatever you want. That's very damaging. And by the way, that is where we live. Where we live. That's why anybody with an IQ over plant life that understands the Bible isn't appalled at some of the stupid things our government and our society endorses. I mean, come on, a brick knows better. If you have 5% of spirituality, it's not that hard. But you know, the society, it's just you have to understand. We all have our opinions. It's nonsense. Moral restraints. We see it in our society. I can give you 1,000 illustrations, just a few I know. Remember several years ago, there was a lady professor, I think it was at the University of California, Berkeley. They're liberal, believe it or not. We're one of the worst colleges in the country when it comes to liberality. So this lady decided she would go to a strip club. And she would be the display. She was the one doing the dancing. We'll leave it at that. And she gave her students extra credit for coming to the show. In a college class. Higher learning. My kid just needs a college education to make it in this life. Man, they might be corrupted. You don't know what goes on in our colleges. There's all kinds of nonsense. Over here at our wonderful Cal State Long Beach. I used to be the singles director many years ago. And this is years ago. Okay? This isn't today. We had people that started some singles that were coming to our church that went over there. The stories they tell are horrific. I've mentioned before, I think it's Sunday school class. They had a teacher of one of their classes. He went over to Thailand. Or one of these, I think it was Thailand. And he had a picture of a bunch of unclothed prostitutes he was with. Pictures. And he passed them around in his class for the students to see. By the way, the administration of the college was okay with it. You know why? They had jewelry on. It's art. Seriously? Just because she had jewelry on, it's art? That's progressive thinking. Why? There's no absolute truth. Let's take moral restraints. Let's throw them off. One of the girls came and said she was shocked. They had an art show. And I can't even tell you what was on there. It was immorality of the dirtiest kind. And this girl was shocked. She's like, I never even knew that kind of stuff went on. And I'm walking down the hallway of an art show. She was appalled. But it's art. You know, if we get up here and I was racist, if I was intolerant and said some things that were like that, that would be, it probably, you know what, if this was on the internet and someone got a hold of it, we'd probably take some heat. Not saying I'm going to do that, okay? But you know what? If I get a band, Mario on the drums, Robert on the guitar, Bobby doing backup, and I said the same thing, but I sang it, it'd be okay. Because it's just music. You understand what I'm saying? That's how retarded our society is. You say, but how did we get there? I'll tell you why. There is no absolute truth. There is no moral restraints. Do what you feel is best. And no one has a right to get up and say, hey, that's wrong. Can I just tell you something? Yes, we can. Why? Because God says it is wrong. Someone has said, by the way, okay, we're going to define marriage. It's simple. It's simple. Go to Genesis. Adam and Steve. Why do you use Steve? Why not Adam and Jerry? Come on now. Seriously. And I always say, Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Steve, and it's not Alma and Eve. It's Adam and Eve and Alma and Steve. Amen? We'll stay there. That's simple. It's not that hard to understand. Say, oh, but the Bible talks about homosexuality. I know. It's not positive. It's not positive. By the way, Christians are backing off of that now. Someone that was coming here, and they didn't like that stance, and said, well, the Bible doesn't really talk about it anyhow. And I said, read Romans chapter 1. Read the King James Version. That's where it is. But where's it going to stop now? Now it's redefined. It's a man or a woman. It's a woman and a woman. Or it's a man and a man. Now, hold on a second. It won't stop there. It won't be long before it could be a man and two women. Utah. Or two men and a woman. Or two men and two women. You name it. And it'll go on. It'll go on. It'll go on. And by the way, you know, age constraints, those are going to go away. I heard in Canada, the age of consent is down to 14. You've got to be kidding me. Are we that stupid? No. Well, actually, yes. But when we throw away moral constraints, anything is open. And the progression is downward. Not going to get better. That's what's wrong with our society. Someone said this. A man's morality will usually dictate his theology. And I'll say that in a college every year, and I'm like, what does that mean? And the students look at me like they didn't have enough coffee. What does that mean? What a man believes about morality, right and wrong, what a man believes about right and wrong should be based on his theology, what God says. We flipped it around. Our beliefs about God are now based on what we want to believe about what's right and wrong. You understand the difference? I want to believe that this is okay, therefore I'm going to change what I believe about God and what I believe God says to fit the lifestyle I wish to choose. Now, when I got saved, not right away, but when I got right with God, you know what happened? My lifestyle started to come into line with what God said. I didn't say, well, here's how I'm living. I'm saved, and I'll serve God, but I want to bring God down to where I am. Okay? Anyhow, let's move on. Letter C. What happens when we direct absolute truth to, and we kind of mentioned it, to right and wrong? If there is no absolute truth, then right and wrong disappears. That's where we're at. You get up and say, hey, listen, this is what God says. Oh, you're unloving. Okay. I'm going to focus on the love of God. Hey, God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to mess your life up. Okay. How many of you have children? How many of you wish you didn't? Okay, I see you. John. Okay, I'll tell John you said that. Oh, I love my child so much, I will let them do whatever they want. How many of you think that's a good parenting strategy? Brother. You know what? Children know how to do wrong. You know, you don't have to teach that little girl or that little boy to lie. You don't need to teach them to be mean-spirited. You don't need to teach any of that stuff. They are good. They have that down pat. You got to teach them to do right. Okay? Oh, I love them so much, I'm going to let them decide for themselves. Junior, what time you want to go to bed? Really? They don't have that choice. Do you want to go to school? By the way, it's funny. We tell kids that, oh, you know, I'm not going to make you go to church. I'm not going to make you do this. But you make them go to school. Okay? Just hypocritical. That's all it is. You know, we got to move on here. To right and wrong. If there's no absolute truth, then there is no right or wrong. It disappears. And how dare you tell me what is right? Who do you think you are? You know who I think I am? I'm going to tell you right now. Nobody. Neither are you. Yeah, come on. Man, look in the mirror. It's not me. If I give up and I give you Steve-ology, ignore it. Okay? Who cares? But if the Bible says something, we ain't got no choice. Okay? So I don't like when someone says that. Well, I get that. I appreciate your thought. But please don't get mad at me. If it's something that the Bible says, you need to take that up with God. Yeah. Okay? You ever read anything in the Bible you don't like? Hello? I live in this flesh that hates all that stuff. Okay? But I know God's right, and that's what I'm supposed to do, and that's where the blessing comes, so I do what God says.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Okay, I take it back. I try. I'm not perfect. I'm so close, though. Almost there. Number three. Don't talk to my wife about that, thanks. Or else I'll talk to yours. We'll have a pity party together. Number three, what happens when we accept absolute truth? If we know the truth and accept it, it can make us free. By the way, it's a process. So we accept God's truth and we grow in our faith, the process happens and we're made free. Okay? We think freedom is doing what I want to do. Can I just tell you something? That's not freedom. That's bondage. Okay? That is bondage. You know, we sometimes, and you've seen Brother Board's, you ever see Brother Board's videos, and sometimes he'll be standing out by the street, greetings from Phnom Penh, we're having blah, 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 and all these cars are zooming sideways and everything in the street. There is no rhyme, there is no reason. I mean, they're going this way, that way, or whatever. It's like when we were kids, when we were teenagers, we would get on our motorcycles, and we would just say, you know, we're going to the mall. It's like, hey, we're going to go out to Cerritos Mall. Let's race there. Now, not race, but, you know, we would cut through sidewalks and go around cars and go through parks and stuff. You know, whatever. Fastest one to get there wins. Okay? Now, those were not necessarily keeping the rules. My friend found that out one time when he got busted. But, you know, you see all these cars are everywhere. They're going this, that, and the other. And it's like, listen, oh, they have freedom. There's no traffic rules. Man, how many people get hit? They got 12 people on a moped. And we can't even throw people in the back of a pickup truck. Man, I miss those days. How many miss those days? My granddad used to just, when we were kids, like, we would go down to the Henry Ford Bridge, you know, the metal grating. He told me as a kid, that's the singing bridge. Because when you drive over it, it goes, sounds like a song. And he'd just say, he had an old, like, I think 55, 56, a Ford pickup. We barely got there. But he'd say, get in the back. We would all just pile into the back. It was great. You know, well, if your kid's not in a child seat until they're 17, that's against the law. Now, I remember when we were kids, you used to get in the back of your mom's station wagon and pray that you got there in one piece. You held on for dear life, okay? But you know, these traffic laws. Well, you know, we have freedom in our country. I know people are getting run over. People are dodging left and right. Hey, for the most part, if you're not on the freeway, the traffic laws are a good thing. There's freedom and there's peace in following the law. If it's a red light, you stop, okay? Other cars go, no one runs into each other. If you're driving, unless you're in England, if you're going that way, you're on this side of the road. Very simple, not that hard. And so that's how the scripture is. Where does the freedom come? It comes within the walls of obeying God's word. That's where the peace is. Outside of those walls is where all the nonsense is. Okay? There's no peace out. I'm my own man. You are in big trouble. Okay? You don't know much about life and you're making it worse. We are made free from the addicting sins and wrong decisions and lifestyles that will bring us into bondage. Look at John 8:34. We're doing good on time. We'll be good. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Bond slave. In bondage. Sin is not liberating. Sin is binding. Okay? Doing your own thing doesn't bring peace and joy. It brings nonsense and misery. We must learn that. Sin is addictive. The truth that God's word makes us free is so neglected by most Christians today. We've looked at this before. I'll just mention in passing again, James chapter 1, verse 25, talking about scripture. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Okay? The law of liberty. Law seems binding. Those two words are different. No. Staying within the law brings liberty. See, God knows what's freeing. And what's freeing is doing what God says. Look at Psalm 119. What's the difference between, now let's ask this one here. What's the difference between rejecting the truth and neglecting the truth? Not much. If you neglect it, in essence, you've rejected it. You know, the head in the sand. Well, I just don't want to know it. It doesn't matter. You're still accountable for it. We're supposed to know it. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Where do we get the wherewithal? What we need to cleanse our way is what he's saying. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought me. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, God's word helps us to stay in tune with what he wants for us. It helps us to live a holier life, which is a freer life, which is a better life. Success is based on God's word. Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. I'm going to meditate, think about it, and do what God says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. Success comes from doing what God says, knowing it, thinking about it, applying it, putting it into practice. That's where success comes from. Now, we have this whole thing. Success is just is all based in results. It doesn't matter how you get the results as long as you get the results. That's not God's way. God says, you just follow me in the areas of your life that I want you to have success, which is all the areas which are within the bounds of Scripture, you'll have success. Yeah. Now, quickly, there are three things that are on your sheet that we must keep in proper order. Okay? We go over this. We'll do number four. We'll pray. Be on our way. There are three things in life that we must keep in order. First one is facts. Facts. What do I mean by facts? That's the truth. Okay? The second one is faith. What I'm believing in to help me make the decisions of life. Faith. The last one is feelings. Faith, facts, faith, feelings. We have to keep, all of us have all three of those. We have a truth we believe. That's the facts. Hopefully it's God's word. It's supposed to be God's word. We have faith. What do we have faith in? Well, faith is only as strong as that which it is attached to. Okay? And then we have feelings, how I feel. That's the worst one right there, okay? We won't even go there. Let's put it this way. Facts run our lives. That's where we got to be. Not faith. Unless faith's in the right place, in the facts. Not just feelings. Facts must run our lives. Faith and feelings must fall in line with the facts. They are not the leaders, but the followers. The just shall live by faith. Okay? Faith in what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? It's got. I can have faith. Have you ever had faith? Someone just, you know, you're a sports person. How many of you like the Broncos? Yeah, I had faith in the Broncos. How'd that work out? We're at Brother Pichardo's after church. His church is at 4 in the afternoon. They get out early, man. That's good stuff. But anyhow, we went to a restaurant. It's like 29-0. 29-0. I'm like, that faith didn't turn out very well. That's worse than my faith in the Rams. Okay? No. Faith was not attached to the right team. But faith, so our feelings, you know, oh, I just feel like, it's got to be based on truth, people. If faith by itself runs our lives, we might believe something that ends up being wrong. You see? We might believe a truth that's not scriptural, and we put our faith in that truth, and that truth might be wrong, and it doesn't matter how much faith you have in that wrong truth, you're going to make bad decisions. Okay? If feelings run our lives, we might do something that feels good or right, but is a violation of the facts that would end up hurting us in the long run. And this, let me just be honest. Most people live by feelings. You're no different. I had a puppy when I was a kid. His name was Zachary. Zachary had a seriously bad habit. When you would pet him and he would get excited, he would tinkle on you. You know, and I knew better. So I'd start petting them and like, hey, here comes the water flow. One time, the apartments where we were living in, the owner came by. Zachary ran up to the owner. The owner goes, come here, buddy. And he stood up with his legs here. You know, dogs stand on you. And he started petting him. I knew where that was going. His pants were a mess. But it felt good. He had feelings, brother. Okay, don't let feelings run your life. By the way, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, it feels good. All right, guess what? The season ends, and the feeling is gone. The misery sets in. Attach your feelings to God's word. Now, number four, we have almost 3 minutes. So what is the conclusion of the whole matter? What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Simple, 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 simple. Learn the truth and live it. Learn the truth and live it. We live in a day and age, if you don't learn God's truth with all the nonsense that's out there in the world, you're going to be twisted up. you kids and you teenagers, you need to get, you know, oh, you know, I grew up and I've been going to church since I was in the nursery. Ain't going to do you any good if you don't get in the Bible. You'll still be twisted like a pretzel when some nonsense comes on. Oh, that just sounds like that, blah, blah, blah. Don't even give me that. Okay? Get your head screwed on straight. Get in the Word. What's the whole conclusion of the battle? Well, let's look at Solomon for a minute. Here's a man that had everything. He lived on both sides of the fence, the godly side, and he slipped over to the ungodly side. Because of all the riches and all the things he acquired, he slipped to the wrong way. But fortunately for us, he speaks to us from experience in the end of Ecclesiastes. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, the last two verses. By the way, that's a depressing book too. The first couple chapters are like, man, this is just, I'm suicidal too. It's kind of like, you know, someone jumps off a bridge, you try to talk them off of it, you talk for 5 minutes and you both jump, that type of thing. Man, you're reading Song of Solomon, you're reading Solomon, it's like, okay, he has some issues here. Well, he's telling you what happens when you live a selfish life. So get to chapter 12 before you jump off the bridge and everything will be fine, okay? What does he say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. So here we go. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. A, we must fear God. What is fearing God? It's living that the realization that God knows everything I do, I say, I think. He knows all of it. That's the fear of God. We must fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Next, we must obey God and keep his commandments. When you fear him, you will do what he says. When we think fear God, it ought to be like a child that has a healthy relationship with their parent or their father would be. They know their father loves them. They know that he's there for them and all those things. But they understand if they violate some things, there's a time coming to meet dad. Okay? And so that's very important. We must obey God. Do what he says. And then the last thing is, we are accountable to God. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You see, we must realize that one day there's a reckoning coming. We're accountable to God for everything that we do. And so what do? We love him, we fear him, and we live our lives based on truth, not based on what I feel and what society tells me is true. Let's pray.